But now our first story, and one that takes on the difficult topic of terrorism, particularly the Mumbai attacks of last November, and looks at the issue through the conversations of Mumbai taxi drivers and their passengers. The project is called Taxi Takes on Terror, and it's the brainchild of documentary filmmaker and artist Vandana Sood. Originally from New Delhi, she's now working on her second master's degree in New York City, and the Taxi Takes on Terror is part of her master's program and also a project that goes beyond just academic requirements and is spilling into the internet and videos. Before we hear my conversation with Vandana Sood, here's an excerpt of one of the taxi conversations on terrorism, in which the taxi driver suggests the government could have done a better job of protecting the country from terrorists, and the passenger talks about the lapse in security and whether it's possible to protect a big country like India.
Security lapse तो हुआ है वो तो government खुद भी बोल रही है ना वो तो ये नहीं बोल रही है कि उनकी तरफ से गलती नहीं हुई है इतना बड़ा देश है तो हर जगह security करना वो government के लिए भी काफी मुश्किल हो जाता है.
Now here's my conversation with Vandana Sood about the Taxi Takes on Terror project, in which Mumbai taxi drivers talk to their customers about terrorism and the attacks in Mumbai last November. Why did you choose taxi drivers for this project?
Well, taxi drivers themselves, I think, have a livelihood which is very interesting. They belong to a certain place. They exist on the streets. They interact with people from various backgrounds on a daily basis because of their job. The taxi space itself is very interesting because it's both public and yet very personal. So the people who get into a taxi, the interactions are normally very spontaneous. The people know that they might not see each other again. And it's a very interesting space for the two people who are taking this journey together to have a dialogue.
Now, there are two people who are having a dialogue, but in effect, there's a third person, which is the camera and you.
That is absolutely correct.
How did people react to that, the situation? They're getting into a taxi, I assume, and suddenly there's this person with a video camera.
Well, I think a lot about me being in the front seat with the taxi driver was based on the very ethos, which is Bombay City, or Mumbai, as it's also called now. It's a very open city, and hence, when people saw me sitting in front, they were surprised, but they weren't taken aback in a rude manner. And they were actually very forthcoming in wanting to find out what I'm doing and trying to participate and help me in the project.
And when they ask you, what are you doing, what did you answer?
Well, I told them exactly what I'm doing, which is making a project for school with the aim of trying to generate a dialogue and discussion about what's taking place in our country regarding modern terrorism, relations with India and Pakistan, you know, notions of jihad, Hindu-Muslim communal tensions, and other such related topics. Sometimes they were taken aback about that, but usually they actually found it really interesting because these are topics which people tend to discuss on a daily basis in their living rooms amongst friends and families. And then this taxi space again becomes a bit of this public nice space where people can just talk and say what they want and not really worry because they probably won't see that taxi driver or that person again. The camera, of course, made them hesitant, but if I might say so myself, I think, you know, I put them at ease and I told them that they don't have to worry and this won't be on news or they can fully trust me. Of course, I had consent forms and all of that.
Well, that's a strange kind of reality because here you have what appears to be a very intimate, private space of the interior of a taxi, yet this could be seen by anyone in the world.
Right. And to a large extent, I realized that as a documentary filmmaker and artist, I did facilitate the discussions in the taxis and also manipulate reality around me. Because as much as I would like to assume that conversations take place in this open manner, I was actually orchestrating them and making them happen. But nonetheless, I know that the conversations and the viewpoints that the people expressed were very much their own and part of cinema verite or actual reality in that sense. But it was the taxi driver who really took ownership. He became the media person. He became the journalist in the front seat.
He's the one who's asking the question.
Absolutely. He's the one who's asking the question.
And why did you decide to do that?
Well, authentically, even though I am documenting and observing these conversations, it's important for me to have, at the core concept, the dialogue is something which should overcome not just socioeconomic but also religious background. And the taxi driver and the passenger represent those two distinct class and caste backgrounds in India. So you'll find that they have different educational backgrounds, normally belong to different castes, sometimes religions. And in a country with, you know, a history of so much caste and class distinctions and barriers, there's not that many spaces where someone of a different caste and class background can actually have this open dialogue about something as important as terrorism, which actually does affect everyone, regardless of who you are and where you were born and how much money you might have.
What kind of reactions did you have when you first approached a taxi driver and said, look, this is what I'd like you to do, ask questions of the passengers about terrorism?
That's an interesting question. Well, they always wanted to know why I wanted to do it. And when I tried to explain the reason, which is simply what I just said right now about having a dialogue, about people coming together, about this notion of humanity, they actually loved the idea itself and they said, you know, we want to help you. They would also always state the fact that, you know, they do this for their livelihood and it's very hard. Being a taxi driver in Bombay is a very hard job. So there was this other aspect, and they didn't really see me as someone who was paying them, but they did see that I presented an opportunity for them to voice their opinion. And I don't think that many times in their life have, you know, people don't really care about what a taxi driver has to say about something like terrorism. I also chose taxi drivers who were actually there on the ground in Bombay on 26/11 when the terrorist attack took place. So they were on the streets, they saw things, they helped people, they transported people to safety. And so they had a personal experience with terrorism. And to a large extent, they were very happy to share those experiences. They liked the fact that someone wanted to know their story. I think that was one of the reasons why they definitely helped me.
One question I haven't asked is why, of all the topics that you could have had the taxi drivers talk about, why terrorism?
It's interesting. I come from a background in studying history in New Delhi, and after that I've been a media student. In New York, I'm doing my second master's. When the 26/11 attack took place, I was sitting in New York. I was planning on doing my thesis for the second master's on yoga, and in particular, this concept of Christian yoga. But the terrorist attack really affected me. And I remember for the first 3 days, I sat and watched all these news programs online and felt really helpless. I think the very concept of terrorism and the issue of terrorism was something that I felt needed to be addressed. As much as I wanted to do something related to yoga and spirituality, I think addressing terrorism is as much a spiritual need, because whenever it happens anywhere in the world, people feel it, they empathize with the suffering, and everyone feels affected by it. And there's a very universal, humane, spiritual connection which takes place amongst people from all around the world when they see these acts. I think that is what touched me in particular, and I think that's why I thought I'd like to do something about it.
In terms of the reaction of the your professors and the students in New York where you're doing your second master's, how did they react to this change of direction and the topic that you decided on?
Well, strangely enough, they actually find the taxi takes on terror to be a much more invigorating and exciting topic than the yoga, really. And maybe it's because they themselves have, you know, experienced 9/11, and it's a much more timely topic. But I think my fellow students and also my professors at Hunter College have been incredibly supportive and encouraging. They think it's a great topic. Yeah, they find it a bit more invigorating than yoga, maybe.
What did you learn from what you heard from the taxi drivers and the passengers?
What did I learn? I learned that, well, I was hoping there'd be but much more conflict. I learned that they were very united in the suffering. It's kind of hard for me to say what I learned in general because there were just so many different observations that I had while I was there in that taxi. And this was, you know, over a period of 2 months. So there were several taxi rides. I think overall, this notion that, you know, lots of times people think that a person who might be uneducated or just driving a taxi doesn't have a perspective, that really changed for me because some of these men were very profound. They had a lot to say. They had some beautiful viewpoints. And I love the way in which they actually became the journalist and the media person and helped me rather than me helping them. I sort of took a back seat. Well, they made the project their own. I sort of gave them just the basics and they rolled with it.
Where can people see or hear more about the project?
Well, I started a website and blog, and it's called thetaxitakes.com. Interestingly enough, as part of my interactions in Bombay, I met a taxi driver the first day that I arrived in Bombay, and he helped me design and then actually put up the URL on his own taxi. So there's actually a taxi which is driving around Bombay as we speak, which has thetaxitakes.com written up in bold letters, driving around Bombay. But yeah, that's one of the spaces where there's audio conversations, videos, and lots of photographs about different experiences that I had. And I'm trying to build that up slowly and steadily.
And there's even a YouTube video of this.
I'm going to be putting up lots of short clips, so lots of short video conversations, and I aim to then string them all together into like a larger documentary film, which will hopefully be going out on the festival circuit maybe sometime next year. But online there would be lots of these short video conversations, which I plan on integrating with social networking and YouTube and Facebook and all the others and Twitter, so that the word can really go out there and people can really come and view the films, participate in the discussions and dialogues, and it become a larger platform for people to really say what they feel about modern terrorism and other such things.
Sounds like you're going to be very busy over the next little while.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, anyone who hears this who thinks that the project is good and wants to help me, more than welcome to come and give me an extra hand. I know I'm going to have my hands full in the next few months.
Vandana Sood, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Vandana Sood is a documentary filmmaker and artist and is working on her second master's degree, this one at the Integrated Media Arts Program at Hunter College in New York City. The Taxi Takes on Terror is part of her schoolwork and part of a growing project she's planning. And if you'd like more information on the project, there's that website. It's at www.thetaxitakes.com. That's thetaxitakes as one word, .com, and takes as in T-A-K-E-S. So thetaxitakes.com. You'll also be able to read about her previous work, including projects with taxi drivers in New York City and auto rickshaw drivers in New Delhi. So once again, her website, thetaxitakes.com. You're listening to Masala Canada here at Radio Canada International. I'm Wojtek Vjansta. Our program is heard at this time in India, South Asia, and around the world on shortwave. In Canada, we're also on Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 95, and 24 hours a day, you can hear our program on our webpage at rcinet.ca/masala.